Well, as I talked about at the beginning of service, we are looking at the letters that Paul wrote to his churches. If you've noticed, and you will notice over the coming weeks, Paul has a pattern when he's writing letters. It's typically like, hi, miss you, how you doing? Stop doing this and be who God has called you to be. And as we were dreaming and coming up with this sermon series, I thought, oh, the art of letter writing, right? It's not quite what it used to be. I can send you 40 emails in a day, but sitting and writing a handwritten note is actually one of my goals for this year, to write 2 notes a week. That was also a goal last year, so we'll see how this year goes. But I want to focus on, as we read scripture and as we dive into this letter from Paul, I want you to have the word thanksgiving and praise in your head. Thanksgiving and praise. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, in the rolling of the hills, in the sea, heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the chatter of a child, in the words of a stranger, we hear you, Lord. In the longing of our minds and our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. All right, let's start in scripture, right? How about there? We're going to start in Colossians 1, 6 through 14. And the point of this letter, it even states so in my Bible, is giving thanks for this city, for these people, for what they're doing. Who was the last time you gave thanks to somebody? When was the last time you wrote a letter and gave thanks? When my children were little, their rule was for birthday parties, Christmas, etc., when they got gifts, they only had to write a thank you note for the gift they wanted to keep. All of them. And then when Cody was moving out, so if one of you in this room are not a recipient of Cody's high school graduation thank you note from 2022, we were cleaning out his room this year, found a stack of thank you notes. I was like, dear child, you wrote them, you thanked them, and then you put them in a drawer. It makes no sense. Okay, back to scripture. Let's hear what Paul has to say. He starts with a greeting. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters of Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it was bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. Then you learn this from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister in Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. I'm going to pause here in verse 8. It's going pretty well for him so far, right? But I do want you to notice the patterns. I greet you, and I thank God for you. I'm grateful for what you are doing through Christ and through the Word, that you are living out Christ's Word. And he goes on in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with knowledge of God's will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while hopefully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. This scripture builds upon each other. It's a different pattern of Paul's letter. It's a letter of gratitude and thanks. To continue to do what you're doing. To continue to live out the calling that God has placed on your heart. To continue to bear the fruits of God. It's a humbling scripture in some ways, because it really has nothing to do with the people per se. It has to do on how they are relying on their faith and living it out fully. He has joy in these moments. He's excited. I mean, have you ever asked somebody to go do something and then you realize they're actually doing it? Not only that, but they're doing it well. They're doing it as humble servants of Christ. There's so much in this sermon. Arthur and I were talking about something different this morning, and we were kind of comparing notes as we do on a Saturday morning. We should probably get a little bit more efficient on that. But I said, honestly, Arthur, the sermon's almost so easy, it's hard. Because all Paul is calling them to do is live out their faith. And then I thought back to once when I went to a Bible study with my mom. So I was in a church in Dallas, and I was home for the summer or Christmas or something. The pastor leading the Bible study was closer to 80. I was 19, all right? And everybody else in the room was not 19, just me. And one part of this Bible study, he said, okay, I want everybody to lay out your faith life. Let's do it by decades. And I'm like, done. But I actually got the opportunity to do that for one of my classes at Baylor this past year. They ask you to just kind of pinpoint faithful moments in your life. I really encourage you to do that this week. We got to see a huge faith moment witnessed tonight. But this moment didn't just happen because of yesterday. It happened because of a lifetime of faith. Think about where you're going and not about being perfect in getting there. Scott Engle talked about the virtues that Paul talked about in his weekly newsletter to his class, and he said, first we imitate virtues, the goodness and the joy and the fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about, because it's not natural to be joyful and patient and kind. You would think it is, but it really isn't. So first we imitate. And then we practice. And then we keep practicing. And that's what a life of faith can look like. In some of our Christian terms, we have a Wesleyan way where we describe grace in our life, right? Prevenient grace is God's grace that's come before you, right? Before you even recognize where God is. I want to talk about the part in our life that we call justification. Remember an old Word document? I'm sure it's still there on Google Docs and stuff. But you type and you have left, right, and center, justification. Well, in our faith life, that's when we click center. So when we recognize God's goodness in our life, but we just don't recognize it, we also then respond. And in that is our ultimate sanctification, where we are in a faith group, we're reading our scriptures, we're doing our prayers, we're doing the things. This is what bothers me about faith. It's not always congruent. It's not always a simple path. You don't get to check a box for justification and then just move to sanctification and never look back. In fact, there are times where you need to what? Hit center. And recognize where you're at and where you want to go. That's what this scripture is calling us to do. As I read it several times this week, this is my new practice. Actually, it's a practice I used to do a lot, and now I'm reintroducing it to my life, that Monday morning I read the scripture that I'm going to preach on Saturday. And then I do most of my writing and research on Thursdays. But that way, it's in my head, but more importantly, it's in my heart, and it helps me live this out. For Paul says this, that you lead lives worthy of the Lord. You bear fruit in every good work as you grow in the knowledge of God. Sometimes I like to point out what Paul didn't say. Paul did not say, you're doing awesome, you can stop. You've done it all. We're good. You don't need to do anything else. He said, as you grow in knowledge of God. That's what I love about being a Christian, is this, my faith journey is not simple. It's not flat. It's adventurous. In some parts of my life, I was the typical young adult who never went to college. I think I shared with y'all when I went on a recent girls' trip with my college friends. One of them finally asked, y'all, I've been working at the church 18 years. One of them finally asked, girl, we need your story of how you got to where you're at today. But they said to me something interesting, is even though I wasn't really involved in a faith community in college, I was always faithful. So although it was somewhat surprising that Reverend became a part of my identity, my faith had always been a part of who I am. When I was a school teacher, I couldn't openly pray in a classroom. So sometimes I struggled with how do I share my faith with children and still be appropriate, right? And it was how I loved them, even when they were unlovable. It's how I loved their parents, even when they were unlovable. And it wasn't always easy. For the other thing that Paul says in there versus what he doesn't say, he says, in each and everything that you do, you're to be called out to live into this life of faith. That means not just Saturday night. That means not just Sunday morning. That means in every aspect of our life, people should see the love of God. That we are bearing a fruit. We should look different, not better, not greater, but different. We should respond with grace, not anger. We should bring light into the darkness. We should bring hope where there's fear. But guys, we're growing in this. You're gonna have some days that you do this excellent. Like, it comes from God's grace. It's really not anything we do per se. It's that we choose to live into this imitation of God's grace. For God chose to come into our lives, and we're responding through faith to live that out in the best way that we can. If my children were here, or my husband would hear, he would let y'all know, I am not always a perfect Christian. My faith life has not always been something that I'm proud of. Sometimes I pray every day. Sometimes I realize it's been like 3 weeks since I've really deeply connected to the Lord. You have to be intentional with it. This is not something that just happens. Yes, can God transform hearts of stone into hearts of joy? Absolutely. But then it is our responsibility to take that fire, that hope, that light, that joy into the world. What happens if we just hold on to it for ourselves? The candle's going to burn out. I'm going to use this illustration way too many times. Bear with me. Christmas Eve. One of my favorite moments as a pastor is watching the light. Because that's what I see each and every Saturday night when you leave. Believe it or not, I actually do see that because you go to your cars and you turn on your lights. And so it's an illustration. But in my heart, I hope that something here tonight connected your faith in a way that you can't but live it out 24/7. That you're not one of those Christians that puts a check in the box, comes once a week, forgets about it, and comes back. That is not what God is calling us to do. God is calling us to deeply connect, which is why this letter from Paul's a little bit weird. It's really only giving thanksgiving and praise. First to God, and then to the people for responding to God's call. I give you two challenges this week. One, think about your faith journey. Have you actually ever really thought about it? Maybe chronicle it in decades, maybe not. But think about things in your life that have impacted you. And I gotta say, 1 through 19, they were deep things that impacted me. Mainly people who came into my life to help me hit center again and again. So pay attention to your faith journey. Know that it is not stagnant, it is not easy. Even in this illustration of Psalm 23, we see that the path is curved and whirly, and then it just kind of disappears. Our faith journeys are important. They're not easy. It's kind of like this sermon. It's almost so easy, it's difficult to preach. Just do what you're supposed to do. That's all we're asking you to do. That's all God has ever asked us to do. But I also want you to recognize it's hard. Growing in our faith. Don't get stagnant. Find ways to incorporate faith in a new way. And be thankful and grateful for what God has done in your life. You know, this yin-yang way I talk sometimes, what would your life look like without God? What would your life look like without Scripture, without faith? So reread this letter this week. Focus on the baptismal vows that were said today and you also responded to, that you are going to connect to your faith life. And that's going to be different for each and every one of you. Maybe some of you need to open up a Bible. Maybe some of you need to go to a class. Maybe you just need to pray. Whatever it is, incorporate it so that you can live it out 24/7 in a way that glorifies and gives praise to God the Father Almighty. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we go out into this night, let us truly go out as the light of Christ, reminded of all that we have learned and all that we know in Scripture, that it is our responsibility now to respond with faith. I ask that you place on the heart in each and every person here the ability to recenter, to make sure that all that they do, all that they say, glorifies and honors you. Maybe a friend can encourage them. Maybe they can be a friend who encourages somebody else. All of this, God, we are thankful for your grace and faith in our lives. Amen.